class we continue. Let's fill in the missing gap before we go on, isn't it? Right? Let's look at verse 12 to verse 18. Okay? 12 to verse 18. A joyful mind is a careful mind. Yeah? A joyful mind is a careful mind. So if we read verse chapter 2, verse 12 to verse 18. Paul was saying to them, yeah, if you're caring about your salvation, be careful what you do and say. Okay. Also, when you are living in this world, yeah, don't complain, don't argue. I think that's quite a good one, because it says like just try to get along, eh? Stop always complaining. If you've got an issue, just raise it in a reasonable manner. Yeah, stop trying to ruffle people's feathers. Say things with consideration. Actually, we're in it together forever, isn't it? So let's do things in the right manner. But not only that, yeah, we'll be careful not to become what? Defiled. In this world. And don't forget, you have to be careful, your life is a sacrifice. That is, do you know when you're careful, what are you doing? When you're careful, you're more focused, isn't it true? Isn't it true? Right, let's just take a really daily life example. Do you know when your first time you bake a cake? Right? Some people just go, forget about the instructions, let's go for it. And hopefully something brilliant will come out of it. And then I'll do some, whoa, that was popular. I'm pretty good at that. I don't need instructions, right? But if you want the best, you're going to be very careful to follow a well-tested recipe, isn't it true? Yeah? When you're careful to do it, you'll reap the result. Isn't it true? A careful mind is a focused mind. Focus on your salvation. Focus on your manner. Focus that you don't get defiled. Focus on the fact that you are supposed to present your life and pour out by God. God is using you. That's a careful mind, isn't it true? Yeah? If you're careful to remember these things, then you'll find that your life is a very joyful mind. Why? The more careful you are, the more you get out of it. Isn't it true? Yeah? So if you're careful to prepare for your exams, yeah, and not to let things become distraction, I think the result should be there. Isn't it true? Yeah? Okay? So if you're careful about what you say, there's less likelihood for you to apologize. There's less likelihood that you are injure someone. People like you better, appreciate your manner. Isn't that a very joyful mind? If you're careful, you'll be very joyful. When you're careless, that's when it's depressing. Yeah? Some of you have lots of stresses in studies and stuff like that. If you're careful, it relieves that stress a little bit more. Isn't that true? Yeah? Okay, let's not talk about that stuff. So, spiritually being careful you end up being a very joyful mind. Isn't that true? A focused mind is a joyful mind. Do you know one of the team leaders actually confessed, and this is not him boasting, it's just him saying that actually for 1 year he has been praying for each or, well, not a team, I think it's fellow students. He has been praying for his fellow students, each one person, for the whole, throughout the whole year. Isn't that a good thing? He was made up his mind to be focused on this. Yeah? Not only could he do it, but actually it was something worth doing. Isn't that a joyful mind? Yeah? He was happy to do it. He was careful to do it. He made sure that he did it, right? Because he did not only care about his own salvation, but he cared about the salvation of other people. He didn't complain, yeah, or argue with himself, why did I give this to myself? It's a good thing to do, right? He didn't let his worldly, the life in this world distract him from fulfilling this task because he thought it was something worth sacrificing for. Yeah, is that all right? Yeah, so I think it is actually quite good. A careful mind is a joyful mind. Okay, is that okay? For me, I think that sums up verse 12 to verse 18. Of course, a careful mind must be focused on the word of life. Verse 16.
Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go.
First year to second year, nothing seems to change. Let's read it again. Hold him. Okay. So I think this is the. I think this is what most preachers will encourage you. Yeah. Hold what? Hold fast the word of life, so that we may rejoice in the day of Christ, that we have not run in vain or labored in vain. Please, can you keep the teachings and remember the methods that we teach you so that we will not feel we have run in vain or have walked in vain? You understand what I mean? Yeah? Hold on! Hold on to the word of life! Hold on to the teachings! Right? Of course, what Paul meant was that he hopes that they keep the word of God in their hearts and continue to work out their salvation. Don't complain, don't argue, because Jesus never argued, he never complained, right? Yeah. So that when they hold on to the word of life, they don't become defiled in the world. That's what Jesus did. He didn't defile himself in the world. And Jesus offered up himself, and that is the spirit that the believer should be. If you have the word of life in your heart, it doesn't just become knowledge, it becomes a way of life. It's a lifestyle. So therefore today, I do understand that everyone has a lifestyle. But you need to change your lifestyle. But change only comes when you have a conscientious focus, careful to make those changes, careful to make sure those changes are implemented step by step. Yeah, mentality by mentality, attitude by attitude. And then you will realize you are adopting the Christian, true Christian lifestyle. Is that alright? Okay, let's go to chapter 3. Chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 1 to 11. Right? Chapter 3, verse 1 to 11. Chapter 3, verse 1 to 11. A joyful mind is a mind that is willing to let go of things that are without true value. Okay. obviously we realize that Paul let go of his what? His Jewish background, isn't it true? His Jewish background. We realize that Paul, he was the Jew of Jews. Jew of Jews, right? Hebrew of Hebrews. Okay? He has everything to be boasted. Among the Jewish crowd, he would be the top notch. I mean, he would be the elite of the Jew. In the academic circles, he was one of the top A students, A stars. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, he would be one of those people everyone would talk about. Wow, Paul, you know that scripture. Wow, you know that. Wow, amazing. You keep that as well. By golly, you are serious, aren't you? Yeah. We might say that Paul was the talk of the town in his class, right? Okay, but we realize that after Paul discovered Jesus, let's look at verse 7. Chapter 3, verse 7. He counts these things loss for Christ. Isn't it true? Right? He counted these things loss for Christ. So basically, the things that the world were gained for him, he knows that all these things will disappear. But then when he met Jesus, there are things that Jesus is giving to him that is better. Yeah? And it's a very good moment to think and reflect on ourselves in our world. Is there things that we are holding on to that actually is causing us to be have a less joyful mind in Christ? Okay? You need to have a comparison between what actually is the world offering to you. Do you know what I mean? Right? There was one preacher who said, "Wow, do you know all these things, YouTube, Facebook, all these things are free of charge, isn't it true?" You know what I mean? Free of charge. That is the way the world works. It gives you things free of charge so you end up spending your life. Isn't that a horrible thing? You know what I mean? You're spending your life to the point that you pay the real price. Okay. Now, if you add up all that time, what do you end up getting? You have a laugh. Do you know what I mean? Do you know, it's quite funny. I don't know about you. Maybe I'm easily bored. Do you know if there's a joke, it's quite funny at the beginning, right? But then if there's repeated similarity, do you know what I mean? It's like imitating the first joke, whatever that person said. Do you know what I mean? It's similar, isn't it? You end up going, why am I trawling through this newsfeed for? It's like, you know what I mean? It's mindless. What I'm trying to say. So what I'm trying to say to you, think about what actually are you really gaining? Or you just formed the habit of going through that newsfeed? Is it really worth that much? But if you turn to Jesus, right? If you turn to Jesus, and this is probably where the difficulty is, because we know it in theory, right? We know it in theory. But why is it that we can't bring ourselves to turn ourselves to Jesus, right? Why can't we experience that? Anybody? Let's discuss this. Why can't we? Well, one of the brothers actually gave a really good testimony, because he realized that when he went to university, and then he realized that, thank God, that in the friends that he had, they were less often going out to clubbing and stuff like that, right? So he realized that actually he himself could actually stand up and say that I don't want to go because of my faith. Do you know what I mean? She felt comfortable. So he realized that when he did that, it was much healthier for his faith. Do you get what I mean? Yeah? So for me, at least, when you are able to let go of the worldly things and you focus on the better things, I think for the brother, it was a clearer conscience. Isn't it true? A clearer conscience. Isn't that something better you gain from Jesus? It is, isn't it? Do you get what I mean? Yeah? So if you realize this, letting go of things that are not of true value, then you will find that your life will change. By the way, do you know if you want to make big changes in life, it only takes a little tweak, isn't it true? Just a little tweak. Just a little change. It doesn't take a lot, really. It just takes the magic thought, that motivation, that focus, then things will change. Once you realize that change doesn't... If you want something better, and the human characteristic, you do want something better, more something lasting, more value, then you find it that you let go of this stuff, and then you head towards what Jesus is giving you, something much better, right? Let's turn to Philippians chapter 3. Right. Now let's look at verse 8. Philippians chapter 3, verse 8. Let's read verse 8. 1, 2, 3, go. He also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. Okay? So I think part of the problem is, right? Do we have a lot of rubbish in our life? Have you heard of the rubbish sermon? Sorry. The sermon about rubbish. Have you heard of that? I don't think you'll forget that expression, is it? Stephen says a rubbish sermon. Yeah? Rubbish sermon. Right, let's turn to Ezekiel. Was it about his Hezekiah? Right? Let's turn to the Old Testament. Okay. When they were clearing out the temples, remember? Because everyone was worshipping idols and stuff like that. Let's find that. Do you know, never use an iPad. It gets stuck as well. Right. Okay. Bum, bum, bum. Okay, rubbish. Second Chronicles chapter 29 verse 5. Second Chronicles chapter 29 verse 5. It's a rubbish verse. Right. Yeah, it's the rubbish verse. The verse about rubbish. Second Chronicles chapter 29 verse 5. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. Hear me, Levites. Now sanctify yourselves, sanctify the house of the Lord, God of your fathers, and carry out the rubbish from the holy place. Right? Do you know? There are people called hoarders. Have you heard of them? Do you know a person in your family is a hoarder? And somebody says, yeah. Do you know a friend who's a hoarder? Yeah. Hoarders are unbelievable, isn't it? Because they stash a lot, they buy a lot of stuff and never use half of them. Hoarders, right? There's one time, I won't say who, but it's really funny. You go into their house, right? You have to climb over everything to see them. Right? You have to climb over everything. There's so much stuff, it's unbelievable, right? And sometimes our life is like that, isn't it? There's just too much rubbish, too much clutter. Isn't that true? Sometimes it's emotional clutter. Sometimes it's just useless habitual clutter. Sometimes it's just too many needless worries. Thinking about how people see you. Thinking about resentful, hoarding the past, histories of what people have said and done. Can you clear up that rubbish? I really thank God some people have overcome bullying in their lives. They've cleared up that rubbish. And they managed to move on. Fantastic, isn't it? Yeah? So today, what I'm trying to explain to you is that if you want to have a joyful mind, clear up the rubbish. Clear out the rubbish. You don't need it. Don't need to hold on to it. It doesn't do any good. Do you get what I mean? Anything that is useless, you've got to judge it as rubbish. Now, after you judge something as rubbish, right, you've got to want to get rid of it. You get me? Now, why would you want to get rid of it? Let's look at verse 9. Can we close that window, Marco? Right. And we shall. Sorry, James, can we switch on the fan? Okay. Right. Let's go to verse 9. Sorry, verse 8. Only when you have the excellence of the knowledge of Christ can you see what is rubbish. Isn't that true? Right? Okay. I've got what kind of watch? Casio. I've got Casio. Right? So if I have a Samsung watch, am I going to want to keep my Casio? You know, Samsung watch, one of these contraptions. iWatch. I don't know, I haven't got one. Okay, you've got something better. If you've got something better, you just don't want this one, isn't it? Right? So if you want something better, then you have something to compare. If you have a better habit, you can change other habits. If you know there's a better mentality, right? Humility, then pride is rubbish. Come on. Who wants to be known and be seen to be arrogant as Mr. Right or Mrs. Right, right? Who wants to be like that? What humility? Humbleness is, humility is the best way of life. Once you see the trashiness of certain mentalities that we have, then you're ready to give it up. But you only can get rid of trash and see trash once you have something excellent in your life. Isn't that true? Yeah? I think that, and I think it is true. Do you know when you, in your life, you meet new friends? Sometimes friends could be older, same age as you, or younger than you, doesn't matter. When you meet new friends, you discover good things, better things in others than that in yourself. Isn't it true? And then when you see people are better than you, say, yeah, I think I should get rid of this now, because, like, I mean, at the end of the day, that person's younger than me, right? And he is improving, and I'm older than them, right? I think I should get rid of my trashy excuses. Because it's purely embarrassing when the younger people are better than me, isn't it true? Do you get what I mean? Yeah? When you see something better, then you can see the trash to get rid of it. Yeah? Don't hang on to it. What's the point? There's no... I love the expression that a preacher Timothy used. What's that? Recycle bin. You see? Recycle bin. But, you can't recycle. Don't recycle it. Just get rid of it. Yeah? It's not worth recycling. Okay, let's come back to Philippians. Now, if you look at verse 10 and 11, you will find the motivation that the more you let go of things that are of no true value, you feel lighter to strive for the future, isn't it true? Yeah? It's more hopeful. Let's look at verse 10 and 11. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, be conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Isn't it true? Okay? So let me give you a translation of the sense of what that tells me. Right? Okay? Do you know? Do you know what is easier? To strive for your faith in a group or by yourself? It's easier to strive for faith in a group, isn't it true? Yeah? But the downside of striving faith in a group is you're not always quite sure whether you're actually moving. Isn't it true? It could be said that you're being carried rather than moving yourself. Do you get what I mean? Right? So basically, in my mind, I think the best way of improving our faith is letting go of the easy things to do faith and strive for the harder things. Do you get what I mean? It's easier to be fed, it's more difficult to feed yourself, isn't it true? Do you know what I mean? But today, right? I mean, if, for example, we go down for lunch in a minute, right? Well, not in a minute, but 2 hours. Sorry, I'm hungry. I suppose you are too. You go down to lunch, right? Right? And you just go down, you just eat, right? That's easier, isn't it true? Right? But if I was to tell you, you are to cook your own meal, it's harder, isn't it true? It's harder. But actually, you learn more things by doing yourself, isn't it true? Right? So what I'm trying to explain to you is that if you really want to improve in your faith, let go of the easy thing. I'm not saying, sorry, let me just make sure. I'm not saying don't join in fellowships. Just I mean, that'll be really bad of me, okay? No, I'm saying don't just rely on fellowships, but you need to gradually, also as soon as possible actually, take on your self-initiative about your faith. Stop relying on people to carry you, because people can't carry you to heaven. It just doesn't work that way. It's comforting to have people around you, but you need to choose the harder thing. You need to take responsibility for your faith. So that if you get this through your mind, then you'll find it that you have a sense not only of achievement, that you matured in the faith, you can look forward to the day when you are actually presenting yourself to God. Yeah? You're not relying on your parents, you're not relying on your friends, right? You are actually running to heaven yourself. And that is quite good. So if you want to have a joyful mind, let go of the things of not true value. Okay? That includes having to rely on other people only to strengthen your faith. And I think that's one of the things that youth need to overcome in order for us to in order for us to mature. And then gradually, reaching to heaven does not seem all that impossible. Because when we have a personal commitment, then you find it that you can see God working through you and bringing you forward in your faith journey. Okay? Okay, let's look at verse chapter 3, verse 1 to 11. Okay? Now, I just want to mention on an offshoot. Okay? Let's look at verse 1 to 2. Okay? Philippians chapter 3, verse 1 to 2. What was something that Paul always talked about? Okay, he always warned about this, right? Let's look at verse 1 to 2. Verse 1 to 2. 1, 2, 3, go. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same thing to you is not tedious, but it is safe. Verse 2. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the mutilation. Right? So why does Paul have a joyful mind? Yeah? Why was Paul have a joyful mind? Because in his mind, reminding is worth it. Okay? Reminding is worth it. Because he knows there's always the danger. Isn't it true? There's always the danger. Why? Because the circumcision were those people who said, no, 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 it's not enough just to believe in Jesus, you need to keep the Moses law. Okay? That means they were adding to the gospel. Right? So Paul was saying to them, do not let these false teachings enter into your mind. You need to be careful. Okay? Now if we turn to 2 Peter, Second Peter chapter 1, let's look at verse 12. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. Let's read verse 12. 1, 2, 3, 1. Verse 12 to 15. 1, 2, 3, 4. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, for you know and establish in the present truth. Yes, I think it is right as long as I am in this tent to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must be about. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. So, what was Peter worried about? Yeah? What was Paul worried about? Paul and Peter have something in common. They know that the gospel truth needs to be continually spread, okay? But they also understood, because there is false teachings, right? That means they need to constantly remind them of the danger to keep the faith. But they know that their life is limited because they could maybe only at that time live until 70 years old. Right? Because they don't know when they will die in their next persecution. They don't know once they are dragged to the judge, they will be, that's the last day of their life. They don't know when they will sit in prison, that's it. That's the day they'll get beheaded. Right? I mean, now, we know that that is what. So that is why they planned that the gospel truth will always be reminded. Right? And they don't get tired of reminding because it's worth it. Isn't it true? Okay? I think as team leaders, I think you probably find yourselves being a little bit repetitive, wouldn't you? You say the same old thing over and over again. Switch off the lights, right? Do those things. Don't do that. Over and over again. Sounds a bit naggy, but actually it's for everyone's sake, isn't it true? Okay? So basically, as you see in the chart, what I'm trying to explain to you, could you adopt this kind of mind? Yeah? Could you adopt this kind of mind? Right? But do you know in convo, you always remind yourself, yeah? Don't commit sexual immorality. Can you please help us do that as well? Do you get what I mean? Yeah? I mean, what's there to lose when you remind people, let's don't commit sexual immorality, okay? Because, do you know what I mean? Now, if you do that in your Facebook group or your WhatsApp group or whatever, isn't that a good reminder, isn't it? Because people say, whoa, I didn't expect that to come from you. I mean, because usually we don't talk about it so much seriously, right? But when you become a mouthpiece or you become the vessel to remind other people, isn't that a good thing? Come on, it's better to be safe than sorry, isn't it true? You never know when you guys go home, yeah, one person will start to become weak and then end up. Do you know what I mean? It's better to remind, isn't it true? Why are you getting tired of reminding? If you want a joyful mind, reminding is worth it. There's always the danger. You get me? Yeah? Do you know, I think we need to do these basic doctrine things. I think we need to get you guys to memorize and remind you, repeat and repeat. Do you know from your essays, some of them are actually pretty good. I'm just thinking, did you actually discuss it among yourself before writing? Or you did it all by yourself? Did you cut and paste from your notes from last year? Because Preacher Johnny must have done a pretty good job emphasizing on your only benevolent. Pretty massive word, I don't use myself. Omnipresent, omnipotent, and then attach at the Almighty as well. By the way, omnipresent, omnipotent means Almighty as well. So not even anything different. I mean, so I'm just thinking to myself, are you actually making it up? Or actually you've memorized something you've been taught? So what I'm trying to say to you, if we keep reminding each other, it sinks in eventually, isn't that true? Yeah? There's no danger behind. I've noticed actually, you've actually memorized stuff based upon sermons, isn't it? Because you guys can really, you know, spin it out, right? It's like, right, three things about the true church, condition. Oh, first there's the truth, there's the Holy Spirit, and there's the sign of miracles. You can actually, you can just regurgitate it, because you heard that in and in out. Do you get what I mean? Yeah? I think it would be even better if in our youth fellowship we have this kind of repetition. Yeah? Different ways of trying to help each other memorize the doctrine. Right? I still remember when Preacher FF was when I was in London, forget about what I just said. When I was in London, some brother was my RA teacher, and he was teaching us bunch of people about the basic doctrine. And by golly, he was nagging us because we're so thick we couldn't get our brains running, right? But he kept on reminding, kept on repeating, until our thick skulls managed to open and absorb what he's talking about. It took us a long while. Do you get what I mean? So what I'm trying to say is to you, sometimes you're trying to give a lot, but actually maybe give a little, repeat it over and over again. At least you can grasp one doctrine. I think that's what I do. Yeah? Grasp one truth. If you want to change your behavior and help people, I mean people, reminding is worth it, isn't it true? Is reminding worth it? It's worth it, right? Even if a person doesn't seem to be listening, reminding is worth it because it's basically love piled up on them so that they can realize, whoa, actually people do. Reminding is worth it, isn't it true? It's worth it because it adds to help them in their conscience to persuade that this is the better way. Yeah? So reminding is such a very good habit for us, right? In the future, when you become married and parents, reminding is important, isn't it true? If you don't start to remind each other now, you will forget what is more important in life. Yeah? Spiritually important. Okay, let's come to Philippians chapter 3. Okay. Can you understand where I'm coming from? I've actually summarized what is said in a paragraph, draw out a teaching, and then I've actually helped to apply it in our life. You get me? So to study the Bible, you need to study what it means, but you need to, once you've got the teaching, then you apply it in your life. Then it will benefit. Okay? So let's go to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Let's look at verse 12 to 16. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 to 16. Let's look at verse 12 to 16. Joyful mind. Yeah. It's a mind with a goal. Okay? A joyful mind is a mind with a goal. I am not talking about football. okay? We're talking about goal, an aim, purpose, right? A goal. Now, if you look at verse 12 to verse 16, we can see that there are two sorts of goals, isn't it? Yeah? First is salvation goal. Salvation goal. And verse 15 to 16, one-mindedness goal. The goal that everyone has the same mind. That's verse 15 to 16, isn't it? Okay? So there are two things. So therefore, if you want a joyful mind, yeah, you need to have a mind with a goal. Right? So here we can see verse 12. Actually, when you set up a goal, you have something to aim for, isn't it? Paul actually has something to aim for because salvation to him was the most important. So everything was heading towards that way. Let's look at verse 13. Verse 13. Can anyone tell me, what does it mean by saying, I do not count myself to have apprehended? But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, I'm reaching forward to the things which are ahead. What actually is he talking about, really? Anybody? Jolie. Verse 13. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. What is he actually talking about? Is he talking about bad times of the past? What is he talking about? That he has lost before. Yes, because he knew, he held on to the things of the past and then he decided to let go, right? So that means when he let go, he decided to do the right thing, okay? So when he decided to do the right thing, he could do the right thing. So basically, when we look at verse 13, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, which means I've done it, and dusted. I've achieved that. I've managed to overcome. I managed to get that. Do you get what I mean? Yeah? So basically, what Paul wanted was not, if you look at verse 9, okay? Own righteousness. And then it's God's righteousness. Right? So that means before he had this standard, and then he's elevated, not elevated, no, I'm sorry. He's by the grace of God, he's become obedient to this standard. Do you get what I mean? Right? Because his standard is Jesus, so therefore he's constantly reflecting to see where else he can improve. If you always feel that you've done enough, you're not going to try to improve yourself. So Paul is saying to us, can you just forget what you've achieved? Right? Because what you have achieved may end up becoming the rubbish that ends up bogging you down, so that you feel that you have actually done everything to please God. You will feel that you've done enough to please God. But when you have changed your weakness to become strength, then you know there are other weaknesses that you can overcome. Do you get what I mean? Yeah? So you've done it, dusted, I've done that, let's go. I now know how to forgive my enemies. I now know how to forgive someone. I've done it, dusted. Let's concentrate on other things. Right? Now I have known how to love people who don't love me. Right? Done it, dusted. I've got used to that. Now I've got to learn to love people who don't know me. Right? You get what I mean? Or I have talked to my friends who talk to me. Now I've got to do something else. I've got to, any Tom person can talk to the friends who talk to you. Now why did you go out to a new one? Because Jesus wants you to talk to other people as well. Do you get what I mean? Yeah? Don't just help those people you know. Why don't you start to help other people you do not know yet? Yeah? So for example, right? Do you know what I mean? So that is what Paul is saying. So Paul is saying that a joyful mind is a mind with a goal. Don't just think about what you've achieved. Oh, I've gave up this, I gave up that, I should be really good, rest of my laurels. No, no, no. You have to carry on and think about what else Jesus wants you to do. What else Jesus wants you to do. Right? So when we think about what Paul is saying, he's saying, press towards the goal for the prize of the outward call of God in Christ Jesus. It means doing everything so that in the end, according to your conscience, you know you've been trying your best to meet the goal and you will definitely pass. You get what I mean? It's like doing exams. You will do the utmost to revise, do the mock test and test yourself, and then so you know that you've done all the test papers, and then you set up yourself, even though you have not yet faced the ultimate exam, you've done everything possible to pass. You get what I mean? You don't leave anything stone unturned. You do it and do it. Make sure you nailed it. Yeah? Make sure you nailed it. Exactly what God requires you to do. Right? Then you find it, you move on. So the biggest obstacle in our spiritual life is when we just become complacent and we don't move on. That's not good. So that is the first part, a goal, a spiritual goal, a mind with a goal in mind. That is really good because it helps us move on. It helps go us for the next step. Okay? Now how about the verse 15 to 16? 15 to 16, what kind of goal is this? The goal is to have a one mind, mature mind. Yeah? I think verse 16 is actually quite good. Let's read verse 16. 1, 2, 3, go. Even to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Okay? So let us ask ourselves, right? Do you know in your youth fellowships and stuff, I think quite a while ago we talked about what? What does light represent? Light fellowship. What does it stand for? Learning in God's holy temple.
Learning in God's holy temple.
Yeah, learning in God's holy temple. I think that's quite good, isn't it? Right? And then we talked about cleaning, isn't it? Isn't it cleansing? Cleansing the temple or keeping the temple clean. Yeah? And then we said, oh, everyone needs to do their part, isn't it? Yeah? I think that's quite good, isn't it? Yeah? So when we set up a policy, set the attitude, right? Everyone should do their part. When everyone comes to the same mind with the same rule, isn't that quite pleasing? Isn't it true? Yeah? Do you know every family? Does every family have their own rules? Yes, they do, right? Country has the rules, family has the rules. Yeah? 国呀国教, 国呀国法, 家呀家法, something like that. Isn't it true? Every house has a rule, isn't it true? You'll find it that when every person in the family follow the same rule, this family is very smooth running. Okay? In the same way as a church, in the same way as a youth group, we should set up a really good rule. Yeah? If in your fellowship there's no rule, like a rule not meaning, I think principle is better, isn't it? Principle is better. The principle of being on time, isn't it true? If you're on time, then you respect other people's timing, right? So, for example, if you're leading, then you shouldn't be late in arrival because other people have made the effort to turn up early, and we should be on time, isn't that true? Okay? Anyway, talk about on time, but to end on time. Let's go. Let's have a sound.
Okay. I'll keep it.
Amen. Take a rest, 10 minutes, we'll be back for the last session.